Masechet Sota, Daf Dalit. We have some fantastic agadot today, but first we return to halacha about how many witnesses we need for the Sota process. We saw in the Mishnah the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua. We'll focus on that one today, who said that you need two witnesses for the warning and also two witnesses for the seclusion. Okay, that's so two witnesses. We also saw that if the husband already warned his wife, let's assume with two witnesses, and then even one witness saw an actual act of bi'ah, saw them sinning, then that one witness is sufficient to give the husband the right to divorce that wife without a ketubah. Even though in general we would not believe just one witness, but since there was already a warning, so that gives credibility to the presumption that then one witness saw it, so most likely she is guilty. She doesn't get the death penalty or anything in that case, but does lose her ketubah. Okay, with that in mind, we know the answer. We're going to quote a Mishnah that's going to come up later in the Masechet that tries to bring a Kal Vachomer comparing that one witness who sees them actual sin versus two witnesses that see the, them secluded. Tenan Hatam. Shehaya bedin. Why do I need a verse to teach me how many witnesses? Because I would have, without the verse, applied the following kal vachomer. Uma edut harishona shen osarta isur olam, ena mitkayemet bepachot mishenayim. Edut acharona sheosarta isur olam, en odin shelot itkayem bepachot mishenayim. So if I have the first testimony. Gemara the second is going to define it, but we have to know now what it means. First testimony means testimony regarding seclusion. Adut acharona, second testimony means testimony of her actual sin, right? Because presumably they're going to be secluded first, and then there would be an actual sin. So regarding seclusion, there's no prohibition. The prohibition is not forever. If witnesses come, the husband warned his wife in front of witnesses, and then there are two witnesses for seclusion. That is not a permanent prohibition, and that prompts the sota process, and she will go, and should she drink and nothing happens, that will show that she is innocent. So if in that case where it's not a permanent prohibition, and yet it only works if there's two witnesses that they were secluded, then the edut achrona, meaning testimony of seeing actual sin, that where it is a permanent prohibition, right? If there's one witness to see her actually sin, the husband and wife are prohibited from being together forever. Sota, the water, is only when there's safek, when no one actually saw what happened, they only saw she was secluded. So that is a permanent prohibition, all the more so that it should be two. If you need two to create a temporary prohibition, prohibiting the husband and wife to each other, then all the more so you should need two witnesses to make a permanent prohibition, and therefore one would not be enough. That's what we would think if we had logic alone. Therefore, Talmud Omar ve'ayed en ba kol sheyesh ba. Therefore, the pasuk in Sota says ve'ayed en ba. We saw earlier that the word ayed means two witnesses, because in another context it says ayed echad. From there, we learn that if you don't say echad, then ed means two. And the pasuk says, if there are not two witnesses, but rather, it has to be something, rather only one witness that sees her act of adultery, then she is teme'ah, she is prohibited. So I need it. If I didn't have this pasuk, I would think from the Kal Vachomer that to see an actual act, need two witnesses. Therefore, this pasuk says only one witness. Good. The Mishnah later on in the Masechet continues and flips it around, and maybe we can learn the Kal Vachomer in the opposite direction. V'Kal Vachomer le'edut harishona me'ata, u'ma edut ha'achronona she'osata isur olam mitkayemet be'ed echad, edut harishona she'en osata isur olam en odin she'titkayem be'ed echad. So we can take this Kal Vachomer and learn something about the first testimony, meaning testimony for seclusion. If testimony that sees their actual act and creates a permanent prohibition, all that needs is one witness, then testimony for the seclusion, which creates a temporary prohibition until she drinks, all the more so, it should require only one. And this would be a challenge, at least according to the Yeshua's opinion, who says you need two. So how do we know? So by logic alone, I would assume that you only need one witness for seclusion. Talmud Omar ki masa ba advat davar ulalanu omer al pi shenayim adim osh al pi shelosha adim yakum davar ma davar mulalan al pi shenayim adim afkan al pi shenayim. Therefore, we need this following gezerah shava, because if a husband sees in his wife a matter of impropriety. So matzah ba'advat davar, and he divorces her. So we see advat davar says the word davar. Now, what would be enough proof that the husband could divorce her because of sexual impropriety? Well, another pasuk also says davar in the context of monetary cases, and says you need at least two witnesses. So just like regarding monetary cases here, it says you need two witnesses. So also, in order to declare that one's wife is guilty, oh, and also needs two witnesses. And so this, we say, is referring to seclusion, that to declare her a sota, one needs two witnesses, that after the warning, that she also was secluded with this other guy. Okay, so now we have pisukim for both laws to exclude kavachomet going one way or kavachomet going the other way. Now the Gemara picks up to ask further. Hai, mikim asaba edvata var nafka, mi ba nafka, ba velo bikinui, ba velo bistira, mi ba ele. So we ask, Do we learn the law that we need two witnesses for seclusion from this Gezerah Shava, from Matzah Ba'arvat Davad in the Pasuk and Devarim? That's not true. We learned it already above from the word Ba in the context of Sota. We learned Ba, Ed Ayin Ba, that you have, even if there's not two witnesses but only one witness, for her, that's a limiting word, that this one witness rule applies only to the one case of her the witness actually seeing the act, but excludes the warning and excludes seclusion. For those two laws, one witness is not enough. You need two witnesses. And so I would learn it from there. And so the Mishnah should have learned it from the word ba, and not from the pasuk in Devarim. And Gemara says, yes, indeed it is so. And now we're going to expand and explain what the Mishnah meant to say. It's kind of like a chesure machasera, where completing the wording of the Mishnah. Tamud lomar ba, ba velo bikinui, ba velo bistira. Yes, indeed, the Mishnah is assuming you know, or we should add the words that we learn. You need two witnesses for seclusion, because the word ba tells us that we need one witness only for seeing the actual act. That only there is one witness enough, but otherwise we need two witnesses for the warning and for seclusion. Okay, next, now Gemara is continuing to paraphrase what the Mishnah should say. V'tumah be'alma belo kinui belo stira de'la mehaman ayad echad min nilan. Now, what if there is sin in the general case when there is no prior warning or seclusion, right? Just a case out of the blue, how many witnesses would we need if a woman just at a surprise with no previous warning by the husband was caught in an act of adultery? How do we know that one witness would not be sufficient? Ne'emar kan ki masa bar vatavar. Ne'emar lalan al pi shenayim edim o al pi shelosha edim yakum davar. Ma davar amur lalan edim shenayim afkan edim shenayim. That's where we need the Gezerah Shava, that it says in Devarim that the husband found a sexual impropriety and a matter of, so the word davar, and it says regarding general civil cases, you need two or three witnesses. Then that, based upon that, we establish the matter. Davar here, davar there, teaches us that you need two witnesses. So in order to, without prior warning, in order to accuse someone of adultery, or prove the guilt of adultery, you need two witnesses. That's how we know that that's in general. And how do we know? But it would be different if there was previous warning. Then you need only one witness. Good. Tenor Rabbanan. Ezohi edut harishona, zo edut setira, ez edut acharona, zo edut tum'ah. Now we're going to go back and just define those terms that we saw in the Mishnah. What does that mean? Edut rishona, that's seclusion. And what does the Mishnah mean when it says edut acharona, the secondary witness testimony? That's testimony regarding the actual defilement. All right, good. So now that we know that, we completely understand the explanation of the Mishnah. And so now we understand the derivations for each of the laws of how many witnesses we need. All right, good. Now back to seclusion. Question: Kama shiur sitira? How long is the amount of time needed in order to declare that something is seclusion? In other words, if the husband warned his wife, "I don't want you to be together with Mr. A." And then she goes into a room together, secluded with Mr. A for a certain amount of time. And there are two witnesses that see her go into the room and stay in that room for X time. How long is X, right? If they're in there for half a second and come out, is that sufficient? If they're in an elevator together and they go up one floor all together, 10 seconds, is that enough? Does it have to be an hour, 2 hours? Well, how much time is it? Okay, the answer is kede tuma, kede bi'a, kede ha'ara, kede hakafat dekel, dibre Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Ishmael gives four answers. Gemara is going to ask in a second, why does he give four answers? So he says, kede tum'ah, and tum'ah throughout this discussion always means not ritual impurity, that he can't eat terumah. It means sinning, the act of bi'ah. And then it says, an act of bi'ah. Okay, well, what does that mean? The same thing? We'll explain it. Kede ha'ara'ah. Ha'ara'ah means the initial act of bi'ah. You don't have to complete the act, but even just the beginning of the insertion of the corona, that's called ha'ara'a. That's sufficient. That's the amount of time we're looking for. And how much time is all that? The time to go to walk around a palm tree. I guess a palm tree is especially a thin tree, so this wouldn't be very long. The point is, it's only a few seconds, right? We're not talking about an entire act, even just the beginning of a sexual act. That's sufficient. Not that we don't know what happened and it's behind closed doors, but if they are in seclusion for a few seconds, the amount of time that one could walk around a tree, then we consider that would be sufficient time for them to have sinned, and then she becomes a safek sota. That's the opinion of Rabbi Ishmael. We're going to see a whole bunch of more opinions, about 9 of them. And then we're going to discuss, are they all exactly the same amount? Are they saying different things? Okay, to be just using different analogies. Rabbi Eliezer omer kedem mizigat hakos. Rabbi Eliezer says the amount of time it takes to mix a drink, when their wine was too strong, they would have to mix it with water. Okay, so kind of mix a drink. How long does it take a bartender, right, to mix a drink? Rabbi Yoshua omer kedei lishtoto, not an amount of time to mix it, but rather to drink it. How long does it take to drink a cup of wine? Ben Azai omer kedei lislot pesa. He says the amount of time to roast an egg. Okay, it doesn't take that long, but it's more than a few seconds. This sounds like it might be even a couple of minutes. Rabbi Akiba omer kedei legom'a. Rabbi Akiba says the amount of time to swallow an egg. Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera omer kedei legmo'a shalosh betzim zo achar zo. Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera says the amount of time to swallow 3 eggs, one after the other. Rabbi Elazar ben Yirmiyahu omer kedei likshor gardi nima, the amount of time it takes for a weaver to tie strings. A weaver is a professional, so I presume he knows what he's doing and can make this tie relatively quickly, but it might be some kind of complicated tie that takes a little bit of time. Chanin ben Pinchas omer kedei shetoshit yada letoch piha litol kesam. He says the amount of time that it would take for a woman to put her hand in her mouth to remove a wood chip, if she has some kind of splinter in her between her teeth, to take it out. Pelimo omer kedei shetoshit yada lesal litol kikar. And Pelimo says the amount of time it would take for a woman to put her hand into a basket to remove a loaf of bread from it. Why they're talking about specifically women versus men doing it, maybe we'll see. They're going to connect it to Pesukim about women, but maybe women are do this more often, so that they can do it faster than a man can. Although there is no proof for the matter, there is a zecher. When we say that, we say zecher, first of all, when it's not a pasuk from the Torah or from the Nevi'im Ketuvim, also when the pasuk is not actually talking about this subject, but just by analogy. So here it talks about Isha Zona, right? And so we're analogizing the amount of time it would take for a person to be with an Isha Zona to commit an illegal sexual act is equal to ad, the amount of time until kikar lachem, it takes to grab a loaf of bread out of a basket. We'll see what this pasuk actually means in context. We're going to discuss it in a few minutes. All right, good. Now that we finished this braita, we ask, v'chol hane lamali, why do I need all of these definitions? We're not actually asking about all of the definitions. We're actually only asking about the four that Rabbi Ishmael says. He said, tum'ah, bi'ah, Ha'ara'a and Hakafat Dekel. Why is he saying four things? If you want to tell me the amount of time, I guess the clearest is the amount of time to take a walk around a tree. So why do we need all of them? Sarichi ditana kede tum'a, hava mina kede tum'ata ve'arsuta, kamashma lan kede bi'a. If you only had to said the word tum'a, tum'a just means the illicit act, but it's not so, it doesn't define. I might think the illicit act is the entirety, starting from the talk that they pillow talk, foreplay that comes before the actual act. Maybe that's part of it. Does that if this man and woman were in seclusion, do we have to take into account? Well, maybe they had to talk for a few minutes in order to be in the mode. No, we don't count that, right? Usually, if someone's committing adultery, they don't need all the talk. We just want to know the amount of time for the actual sin. So that's why it says bi'a. Vitana kedet bi'a, hava mina kedet gemar bi'a, kamash malan kedet ha'ara'a. And if Rabbi Ishmael said only bi'a, I would have thought it means the entire physical act from beginning to end. But therefore it says ha'ara'a, only the beginning of the physical act, only the beginning of the insertion. Now, if you only said hara'a, then I would say maybe it means the talking beforehand, the discussion and the intimate talk, plus also the beginning of intercourse. And maybe those two. So that's why I can't just say hara'a. That's why kamash malan kede tuma. That's why I have to say tuma. So I need all those three phrases to tell me that it's only the insertion part, not the whole bi'ah after, and not the whole talking part before. So those all three, v'kama kedeh ra'ah, kedeh kafat dekel. And how long does it take for that initial, for the initial act, the amount of time it takes to walk around a palm tree. Good. Now we understand why the Bishmael said four terms. All right, now all that was one braita. Now we're going to quote a whole new second version of this braita. It's also found in the Tosefta. Would mean he, and we're going to see, it doesn't quote nine, it only quotes five of the opinions, and the opinions are shifted down one, right? The names are all off by one. I know the pasuk says that if the woman is secluded with the man, but how long does that take? So therefore, when the pasuk says, and she is Tameh, she sinned. Oh, so I know now that it means the amount of time it takes for Tum'ah, for Bi'ah, for initial insertion, for the returning of a palm tree. We'll see what that means, returning of a palm tree, but something to do with a palm tree. the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. See, before, this was the opinion of Rabbi Ishmael. I'm going to show you a little chart, thanks to Art Scroll, that makes this very clear. Beforehand, Rabbi Ishmael said the four items, including something with the palm tree, and the first Beraita. The second Beraita doesn't have Rabbi Ishmael at all, instead quotes that in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. And now we're going to see Rabbi Eliezer in the first Beraita said mixing a cup. Second Beraita is going to have it in the name of Rabbi Yoshua. The first Beraita said in the name of Yeshua, drink a cup. The second Beraita is going to move that down to Ben Azai, and so on. Okay. Rabbi Yoshua Amir, Kedem Mezigata Kos, Rabbi Yoshua says, for mixing a cup. Ben Azai says, the amount of time of drinking a cup. Rabbi Akiva Amir, Kedem Lislot Besa. Rabbi Yoda Ben Betera Amir, Kedem Legoma. Rabbi Akiva says, to roast an egg. Rabbi Betera says, the amount of time to swallow an egg. Okay, now, so that's the end of the Braita, right? You can see the last ones also. Rabbi Yoda Ben Betera and the second one is to swallow an egg. That was the opinion of Rabbi Akiva beforehand, right? And Rabbi Akiva was said to roast an egg. That was the opinion of Rabbi Azai in the first Baraita. So this is confusing. Can we reconcile these two Baraitot? Okay, let's see. So at first, we thought to say, maybe it's the same thing. Walking around a tree and a tree returning to its place. Let's say if it was blown over to return back to where it was, are the same amount of time. And that's why they're interchangeable. But it can't be that it's the same amount of time, because in that Baraita, Rabbi Ishmael said to circle a palm tree, Rabbi Eliezer said something different. He said for mixing a cup of wine. And so Rabbi Eliezer must be that he disagrees with Rabbi Ishmael. So we're assuming here that we should reconcile the two Baraitot. If you asked me, I would say that these two Braitot are two different versions of an oral tradition. And, they probably memorize things by remembering a list of sages and, a list of opinions. And through the course of transmission, it got shifted off one. That's if you asked me, but nobody asked me. So the Talmud instead says, no, we should reconcile them. And in order to reconcile them, must be to be, as I said, both mixing a cup and a palm tree returning. And so therefore, these must be the same thing, as we're going to say in a second. If they are the same thing, then Rabbi Eliezer must be different from Rabbi Ishmael, because he argues, and therefore returning of a palm tree must be a different amount of time than circling a palm tree. Okay, so now we have to answer it. So, right, it'll be the same. Amar Abaye, Hakafa Baregel, Hazara Beruach. Abaye explains, they are in fact different times and refer to different events. Rabbi Ishmael was talking about the time to walk around the palm tree, whereas the second Beraita, Rabbi Eliezer, was talking about a palm tree bending and going back to its place. Good. Ba'ai Rav Ashe, Hazara Beruach ki hechi da'azir v'hadarate, od yama ki hechi da'azir v'ate, v'hadar ka'e beduchte. Teko, Rav Ashe asks about this opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. When he says that, does it mean one time that it bends and comes back? Or does he mean that it bends and comes back and forth until it settles in its place, right? When you bend something, that's springy, then it'll go back and forth a lot of times, like a pendulum, and less until finally it comes to rest. That will be significantly more time than just one back and forth, and we don't resolve that question. Hatama Amar Rabbi Eliezer kedelim zigata kos. Hacha kedeh chazarat ekel. Question about Rabbi Eliezer. In the first Braita, he says a time for mixing a cup. Here he says for a tree bending back. Which one is it? And we answer, idi v'idi chachiurahu. He said both, and they're the same amount of time. So the two Braitot agree with each other. In the first Braita, Rabbi Yoshua said a time amount it takes to drink. And the second Braita, he says, and the time it takes to mix. So what about that? Ema kedeh limzog velishtot. Oh, actually, what he meant to say is the two are filling in each other. When the first Braita, he meant the amount of time it takes to mix a drink and to actually drink it. In the first Braita, he said half of what he meant to say, and second Braita, the other half of what he meant to say. Okay, it is difficult to say this. He's assuming you know the other one, or maybe he meant to say kind of, Rabbi Yehoshua is adding to the words of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said to mix a cup. He says, oh, also to drink a cup, right? Maybe, but then what are you going to do for this one? Okay, anyway, we can reconcile it by saying they're referring to each other, and you need actually both. So this would be much longer than what Rabbi Eliezer said. Okay, so Rabbi Yehoshua says that, and now we wonder, why don't you answer like we did before, that these are equal times, mixing and drinking? You can't say that, because then that would be Rabbi Yehoshua would agree with Rabbi Eliezer. If he agreed with Rabbi Eliezer, he wouldn't have to say anything at all. We wouldn't have to record a separate opinion if he agreed. So it can't be that he agrees with Rabbi Eliezer. So it can't be just the amount of mixing a cup, and therefore it has to be a different amount. If it's a different amount, it has to be something that has to do with mixing and drinking. So we say, you know what, add them together, and that's what he meant to say. All right, next. The first Braita says to roast an egg, and now he says the amount of time to eat an egg, or to drink a cup of wine. So which one is it, roast egg or drink wine? Those are the same exact time period. Okay, Rabbi Akiva, first he said to the amount of time to swallow, and now he says to roast it. Which one is it? Emma kedeli slot besa ul goma. So add them together, and Rabbi Akiva said you need what he said in both contexts to add them. You need the amount of time to roast an egg and to eat the egg. Wait, what for Rabbi Akiva? Why do we answer that you have to add them together? Why don't we say the two braitot are equal? Imken haynu ben Azai, just as before, then Rabbi Akiva has to disagree with Ben Azai, otherwise we wouldn't have to cite him separately. By the way, Ben Azai is a student of Rabbi Akiva, but it seems that we quote him first because chronologically, first you roast an egg, then you swallow it, usually. Okay, so we can't be the same, because then he wouldn't say anything. So it has to be different from roasting an egg. But here he said roasting an egg, so therefore it must be that he have to add them together. So that's why it goes in like every other, right? This one is equal, this one, add them together. This one is equal, these two you add together. And that way we can reconcile all of them. And just one more that we need to reconcile. Hatam ramar biyoda ben betera kedelig moa shalosh besim zo achar zo. Hacha amar kedelig oma. In the first Braita, Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera said the amount of time it takes to swallow three eggs, one after the other. And here he says, just one egg. And the answer is, lidvarav, lidrabi akiva kama, dekama, mesharim besiliyao, begimia ema, shiur gimia lechuda, kedeligmoa, shalosh besim, zo achar zo, tahainu silia, ugmia. And in the first Braita, Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera was only giving an alternate formulation of Rabbi Akiva's opinion. And he's saying, for the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who said that you add roasting plus swallowing together, I'll tell you the same amount of time in a simpler way by just talking about one act of swallowing, that it's equivalent to three swallowing three eggs. Swallowing three eggs is the same amount of time as roasting and swallowing one egg. And therefore, that's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that I'm simplifying. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera himself did not agree, and he said swallowing one egg is sufficient. Okay, the second Braita does not quote the other three, so that's all. Now we've been able to reconcile both of these Baraitot. Good. Rabbi Elazar ben Yirmiyah Omer, Kedeshi Ikshor Gardi Nima. Now back to the first Braita, one of the last opinions was that the amount of time it takes to tie a weaver's string, a weaver to tie a string. And the question about that is, Ba'erav Asher, Dimirhak or Dimikarav Teku? Are these far apart from each other or near each other? If they're far apart, it's going to take a little bit longer to tie them together. And the question stands. Chanin bar Pinchas omer kedesh toshit yada l'toch piha litol kesam ba'erav Asher d'mihadak or de'la mihadak teku. When it says, Pinchas says, amount of time it takes for a woman to remove a splinter between her teeth, does that mean that the splinter is stuck in there and takes a little longer to pry it out, or that it's loose? And the question stands. Pelimo omer kedesh toshit yada. Lesali tol kikar by Rav Ashe. Rav Ashe notices asking all of these questions. He must have given a series of shiurim on this subject. Amount of time for Reuben to remove a loaf of bread. Dimiadak o de la mihadak, is it stuck in the basket or not? Baskets in those days were, you know, made out of reeds, and sometimes the edges of them would be sticking out, and the bread, which is soft, could get stuck on it. So you might have to take a little time to remove the bread carefully. So is it stuck or not stuck? Bechadetal beatika, is the basket new or old? If it's new, it's going to have more things sticking out. When it's old, it's already smoothed out, so it'll take a little more time if it's new. Bachamima or bekerira, is the bread hot or cold? If it's hot, it's softer and it's going to get stuck and take longer to take out. Bedechite or bedeseare, berakicha or beakusha teko, is it made out of wheat, which is softer, or barley, which is harder? And the softer will get stuck more. Is it soft bread or is it hard bread? It will take a little bit longer or a little shorter. Take all these questions remain standing. Amar Rav Yitzchak Abar Yosef Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kol Echad Ve'Echad Be'atzmo Shi'er Vayika Ben Azay De La Naseb. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan says, regarding that baraita, each of these Tanaim, they gave different amounts. What's their source to say it's, you know, this many seconds or that many compared to bread, compared to trees? So as each one estimated it based on his own personal experience when they were with their wives. How long did it take for them to initiate the act? And so they estimated on their own. Hold on, Ben Azai was never married. How did Ben Azai give an opinion about this if he didn't have any personal experience? Some say actually he was married, but then he divorced. Right? There is a story that just like Rabbi Akiva, his wife made a condition, Rabbi Akiva, go and study and I'll marry you. The end of that story says, oh, also they had their daughter, Rabbi Akiva's daughter, did the same deal with Ben Azai, which suggests that Ben Azai did marry her. But apparently if they did get married, didn't work out, but he knew from that experience, so he did have some experience, even though later on he was not married. By the way, he was not married because he said, I'm married to Torah. He wanted to devote himself fully 100% of the time. We know there were a lot of, you know, the Dead Sea sectarians, they didn't want to get married, and early Christians, even until today, they don't want to get married. But generally, the rabbinic ideal is to be married, have family, right? You have to fulfill Peru Urvu and learn Torah also, right? Find a way to do both at the same time. Ben Azai, however, is the exception to this rule. He's the most monk-like of the Talmudic figures. Okay, and some say, even though he didn't have any experience himself, he was actually never married, but he learned it from his teachers, right? And his teacher told him, this is the halacha, so he's repeating what he heard. Or others say, the secret of Hashem is with those that fear him. And that's some kind of a divine inspiration that he received, that this is the amount of time. It's very rare that with their rabbis base a halacha on divine inspiration. We usually say lo b'shamayim hi, but there are a few exceptions here and there. This is one of them. It's curious that the one exception of this divine inspiration would be about this particular subject. Okay, darash Rav Avira, zimnin amar la mishemed debi ameh, vezimnin amar la mishemed debi aseh. So Rav Avira taught the following, and he taught in the name of his teacher, but sometimes he mentioned Rav Ameh, sometimes he mentioned Rav Aseh. I don't know, maybe he heard it from both of them. And here's his teaching. Kol ha'ochel lechem belo netilat yadayim, kilu ba al isha zona, shenemar ki ba'ad isha zona, ad kikad lachem. Okay, the reason this is relevant is because we just quoted this pasuk, that in the context of equating the zinut, how long does it take time? How long is zinut? Does it take? How long is the time for an act of zinut? The same amount of time to take a piece of bread. Since we quoted that, and in general we're talking about illicit relations, so we quote the following statement that says, someone who eats bread without washing their hands first, it's like they were with a zona. Now, these two things seem to be very far apart, right? I don't know if anybody would say, you know, what is this like, and equate these two. So what does it have to do with each other? Well, they are using a pasuk, isha zona, and kikar lachem. What do you mean kikar lachem? What's wrong with bread? What's wrong eating bread? Must be talking about eating bread in a problematic way without netilat yadayin. Okay, to understand this a little more conceptually, however, it must be something like this, that if one just eats bread, animals also eat bread. So if you're just eating bread without any kiddusha, without any preparation, then you're just doing an animalistic act, and so that's not proper, right? You should do something and make it kadosh. We wash our hands, similar to the way the Kohanim used to wash hands before eating terumah. So even though we're not Kohanim and we're not eating terumah and we're not tahor, still we're reenacting that. We also add a beracha before, after. We make this into a holy act to recognize, right, this is, we're not acting like animals, we're appreciating this, we're doing something in holiness. Same thing with bi'ah. If one has bi'ah in the proper context with his wife, after you do kiddushin, right, with one's wife in the context of family and marriage, and this increases love, so then it's a beautiful, wonderful act. If not, if it's with an isha zonah, then it's an animalistic act and not appropriate. So that's the similarity. Both are physical acts of physical enjoyment that can be simply animalistic, or if done through either making the hands holy or kiddushin, making the relationship holy, then it becomes a proper and holy act. Okay, beautiful teaching. Amar Rava, hay be'ad isha zona ad kikar lachem, be'ad kikar lechem ad isha zona mi ba'ele. Rava challenges that opinion and says, if the pasuk means to say that not washing hands is like being with a zona, then it should have mentioned eating bread first without washing hands is like isha zona. But the pasuk doesn't say that. It says it the other way around. It says biyad isha zona. It says isha zona first, and that somehow is like or leads to kikar lechem. Therefore, he offers an alternate interpretation. Ela amarava kol haba al isha zona lesof mevakesh kikar lechem. He explains, anyone who is with an isha zona, in the end, he's going to become impoverished and is going to be searching just for a simple loaf of bread. He will be so poor because he's spending all of his earnings on this isha zona. Amar Rabbi Zirika, Amar Rabbi El Azar. Kol ha-mezalzel b'netilat yadayim ne'akar min ha'olam. So further on netilat yadayim, anyone who makes light of the mitzvah of netilat yadayim will be removed from the world. I guess the idea again is that he's being materialistic, not appreciating anything, and removed from the spiritual world and appreciating gratitude that what he has comes from his creator. Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Amar Rav, Mayim Rishonim Sarich Sheyagbiya Yadav Lemala, Mayim Acharonim Sarich Sheyashpil Yadav Lemata. Since we're on the subject of Netilat Yadayim, some of the details. Mayim Rishonim, that's the Netilat Yadayim we do before eating bread. One should, after washing hands, should lift his hands up towards up above. Whereas Mayim Acharonim, at the end of a meal, after washing, one should keep his fingers facing downwards. We'll see why. Tanya Nami Hachi Hanotel Yadav Sarich Sheyagbiya Yadav Lemala Shema Yesu Amayim Chus LaPerek VeYachzeru VeYitameu Et HaYadayim. Braita repeats this and gives the reason why Mayim Rishonim, you should keep your hands up, because we're assuming here once washing only once, not like the three times that we usually do. And if you're washing once, then there's a problem, because although that water is there to remove the tumah, all this is derabanan. There is in the Oraita level, there's no such thing as tumah just of hands, your whole body or nothing. But this tumah derabanan, that first washing will remove the tumah, but the tumah will be in the water, and so the water itself is tameh, and so then we worry that here's the problem, the water will drip down above one's wrist, and then if you put your hands down, that water will come back and remake your hands tameh again. Therefore, keep them up, kind of like a surgeon, right? After they do their scrubbing, they keep their hands up in order to remain pure. We wash three times. So really, even after just two times, already you're washing the water that became tameh. You're washing that itself off. Also, if one washes with more water, a revi'it of water, you know, a cupful, then you don't even have to do three times, because that's kind of like dipping your hands in the mikveh, in which case also they become tahor, and you don't have to worry about the impurity of the water by itself. Okay, how come Mayim Acharonim? That's different because there you want to get those strong salts and dirt off of one's hands, one's fingers, and want to keep them down so the water will come off and not remain on the hands, not go back up. Okay, I'm out of Abhu. Kol ha'ochel pat. Belo negiuv yadayim kilu ochel lechem tamesh nemar vayomer Hashem kacha yochelu bnei Yisrael et lachmam tameh. And anyone who eats bread without drying his hands is like he's eating lechem tameh. Similar idea that the water itself, after washing just once, the water itself is tameh. So then, by touching the bread will become tameh. Or another reason, maybe just with wet hands, it makes the bread soggy, and then that's gross. And the pasuk that we learn from is from Yechezkel. This is the context of Ezekiel bread. It actually comes from this context. Hashem tells Yechezkel to make disgusting bread, cooked on dung with all kinds of funny seeds and grains in it. We think it's healthy and we like it a lot. I like it. It is healthy. But the way Yechezkel did it was much worse than the way we do it. And the point there was, he's telling Yechezkel, there's going to be terrible destruction and famine, and the people are going to be searching for any food. They're going to have to eat this repulsive food. And so he says, this is how Bnei Yisrael are going to have to eat their bread, unclean among the nations, right? Disgusting bread. And so that's the comparison of this eating food that's soggy. May ve'eshet ish nefesh yekara tasur. Okay, now we quoted the pasuk about eating bread, being with the zonah leads to looking for bread. We quote the rest of the pasuk that says, and eshet ish, an adulterous woman, will tasud, will hunt out a precious life. In other words, be careful of a woman who is looking for adultery. Amar b'chiya bar Abba, amar b'yochanan, kol adam sheyesh bo gasut haruach lebasof nichshal be'eshet ish she'ne'emar ve'eshet ish nefesh yekara tasud. Okay, even though the simple reading of the pasuk, as we'll see in a minute, is talking about that the woman is hunting to make the man sin, Rabbi Yochanan flips it around and says, a man or any person who has arrogance in the end will fall into the sin of adultery, right? Because they think the world revolves around themselves. They don't think about others. They don't think about their spouse, their family, their community, all the harm that they're doing. And so arrogance will lead to sin, as it says in the pasuk. Here we're reading nefesh yekara, meaning an arrogant soul will hunt after eshet ish, amar cause adultery. Amar Rava, hi nefesh yekara, nefesh gevohami ba'ele. Rava says that doesn't make sense to me, because if it's talking about arrogance, the term for arrogance is nefesh gevoha, someone who's all puffed up, lifted up, thinks so highly of himself. Nefesh yekara means a precious soul, so that sounds like something more positive. And furthermore, ve'od hi tasud mi ba'ele. In order to clarify, if it's the eshet ish who's being the one that's hunted, and the nefesh yekara doing the hunting, so then it should have said nefesh yekara hi tasud. The nefesh, it, nefesh is nekeva, it will be hunting after eshet ish. So that's not the simple reading. Rather, the eshet ish is the subject of the verb, and she's the one doing the hunting. Ela amarava kol abal eshet ish afilu lamad Torah dichtiv ba yekarahi mipininim mikohen gadol shenichnas lifnai v'lifnim hi tesudenu ledina shel gehinam. Rather, it's this woman who's looking to sin. She will hunt even a precious soul, even someone who is otherwise a good person and pure, even if a person learns Torah, and regarding Torah says the Torah is more precious than jewels, even more precious, mipininim, we interpret allegorically, not jewels, but rather pininim, inside of inside, better than the Kohen Gadol, who enters the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur. That's how great learning Torah is. It's open to anyone who learns Torah, is greater than the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, the holiest day, the holiest person in the holiest place. And yet, this sin can make that person fall. That precious soul can be caught and go in this trap and be judged for Gehinam. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai Kol Adam Shesh Bo Gasut Haro Kilo Obed Avodah Zara Ketiv Hacha Tovat Hashem Kol Gevah Lev Uchtiv Atam Lo Tavi To'aiba El Betecha. Someone who is arrogant, it's like he worships idolatry, because it says the word To'aiba regarding Kol Gevah Lev, anyone who is haughty of heart. And also says the word to'aiva, don't bring to'aiva, referring to idolatry. Some people think to'aiva is rashi tevot TV, don't bring it into your house. Okay, so therefore, since it's to'aiva here and there, it's like being arrogant is like idolatry, which it is. When someone is arrogant, they think so highly of themselves, they think the world revolves around them. They worship themselves. And so that is also a form of idolatry. Rabbi Yochanan before was quoting Rashbi, but Rabbi Yochanan had a different equation. He says anyone who is arrogant, it's like he denies the fundamental belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Pasuk says, V'ram le'babecha, when a person's heart, mind becomes high and haughty, he forgets God. I don't need God, right? I can do, I'm self-sufficient. I am in charge of everything. On my own, and because he doesn't have any needs, because he's so high in himself, so he automatically denies God's relevance. Rabbi Hama bar Hanina Amar, Kilu ba al kol ha'arayot. Someone who is arrogant, it's that sin is as bad as him sinning against all the prohibited relations. Ketiv hachat to'avat Hashem kol gebalev, uchtiv hatam ki et kol hato'evot ha'el. It says regarding someone who is haughty of heart, that he is an abomination to Hashem, and also it says regarding the forbidden relations that those are all abominations, so that equals all of those abominations of forbidden relations. Ula amar ki ilu bana bama. Someone who is arrogant, it's like he built a personal altar, which is not allowed. You're only allowed to have one mizbeach in the Mishkan, and not allowed to make any other mizbeach anywhere else. Shneimar chidlu lachem in haadam asher neshama be'apo ki bameh nechshav hu al tikre bameh ela bama. We learn this pasuk in Yeshaya that says, cease from man is whose natural is breath. In other words, don't put your trust in human beings. They're just, they're dependent on breathing here today, gone tomorrow, because in what? They're like nothing. Like, what is that? What is a person that he should be accounted for, that he is important? So this is saying, right, people should be humble. And so we say, don't read it bameh, but rather bama. A person who thinks highly of himself is like he is making his own altar. Basically, he's kind of worshiping himself. Okay, my yad le yad lo yenake. Now that we quoted the pasuk before, someone who's proud of heart is to'avat Hashem. The continuation of that pasuk says, hand to hand, he will not be cleansed of punishment. What does that mean? Amarav kol ha'ba'al eshet ish afilu hiknahu lakadosh baruch hu shamayim va'aris ke'abraham avinu tichti be'harimot yadi el Hashem el alyon kone shamayim va'aris lo yinnake midina shel gehinam. So we're going to have a few statements about the severity of being unfaithful, which is it's not only connected to Pesukim we've been quoting, but also is the theme of Masechet Sotah, to keep away from the sin, and no one should think that they are beyond reproach or can be so sure of themselves, because anyone who violates the sin, even if Hashem promised him the heavens and the earth, like were promised to Avraham, it says regarding Avraham, Avraham says to the king of Sodom, I raise my hand to Hashem. That's a way of swearing, right? Hashem who? Kone, who created the heavens and the earth. Continuation, he says, I will not take anything from the king of Sodom. So we see that Avraham was promised the Shamayim Va'aretz by Hashem. Nevertheless, even if someone is as righteous and as deserving of reward as Avraham, if one should commit the sin, he will not be cleansed even of dinah shel genam. That's liyad liyad, right? Raising his hands, lo yinake. We ask about this. Kasha lehu ledebe rabbi shela. Hayad liyad lo yinake yadimi ba'ele. If this was referring to this statement like Avraham, it shouldn't say yad liyad. It should have said yadi. That's what it says in the pasuk. Even someone who raises his hand and swearing and recognizing God as the creator of heaven and earth and deserving heaven and earth, it should have said yadi, not yad liyad. Rather, here's another exposition. Ela amri deber bishela afilu kibel Torah kemoshe rabenu dichtibe mimino esh dat lamo lo yinake medina shel gehinam. Rather, it's talking about even if a person is as righteous and deserving of reward as Moshe Rabbeinu, who received the Torah, even if this person received the Torah himself, like Moshe Rabbeinu, is that great? Regarding him, regarding Moshe, it says, mi no, right, from his right hand, the fiery Torah was given to him. That's referring to Moshe, who received the Torah from hand to hand. God handed Moshe the Torah. Even someone that great, if someone like that should sin, eshet ish, he will not be cleansed from the judgment of Gehinam. We ask about this interpretation also. Kashya l'Rabbi Yochanan, hay yad liyad, yad mi yad mi ba'ele. If it's referring to someone like Moshe receiving the Torah, it shouldn't say hand to hand, but rather hand from hand, that Moshe received it. So from Hashem's hand, he received it. Ela amar Rabbi Yochanan, afilo ose sedaka baseter, dichtiv matan baseter yichpe'af, lo yinnake medina shel geinam. Rather, the final understanding is even if someone does acts of righteousness and charity in private and gives to poor people without them knowing who gave them, even if someone is that righteous that he gives charity to the poor, it's a great thing, wonderful thing. But if that person should sin, then they will not be cleansed. This is based on pasuk in Mishle, matan baseter, giving in secret pacifies wrath. That's a good thing, right? To give in secret, but this sin of eshet ish, even that righteous person will be punished. In other words, no good deeds can save a person from the consequences of eshet ish. And so now it's interesting how we're combining avodah zarah, arrogance, eshet ish, right? All of these, the character traits are all connected to each other. And so that's why we are connecting them all together and giving the warnings against them. Baruch Adonai Leolam, Amen ve'amen.